Welcome back to Rome Boys. Today we're going to discuss Purgatory. Catholic fairy tale, or is it real?
It's showtime.
Welcome back. If you've never been here before, welcome first.
Yeah, right?
Time. Yeah.
Welcome to your first episode. So, Purgatory. Did we make it up?
Nope. It's existed.
Just now.
Nope. Yeah. We are not the Pope, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's existed for centuries. I mean, obviously, we'll talk about this in Scripture, where it teaches even the Old Testament. The Jews had a belief of it. Now, the word purgatory comes later, but the actual belief has been there for pre-Christ, you know, before that, so as far as the praying for the dead. But we'll start off with the Catechism, okay? Catechism of the Catholic Church. Here's a paragraph 1030. It says, all who die in God's grace, so that's a good thing, we're already on the right track, and in friendship, awesome, that's we're on the good, straight and narrow, but still imperfectly purified, so we're just not quite perfect, and indeed assured of their eternal salvation, so we definitely have salvation, but just not there yet. But after death, they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. So we're in the friendship with God, but we're imperfectly purified, assured of our salvation, and we will make it to heaven.
Assured of our salvation? No.
I thought Catholics didn't believe in, that we're guaranteed heaven.
Yeah, and we believe it, so therefore it's true.
Believe. I know that sounds like a cat poster, but it's true.
So you want to break that down for us a little more?
So all die in God's grace. So we have the grace of God.
So we're saved.
We are on the track to be saved, yes. And friendship. So we obviously have a relationship with Christ, with the Trinity. But imperfectly purified is the key there. So we're not saints. We're not where we need to be. We're not the best version of ourselves quite yet.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So how do we become, how do we go from who we are? Because right now, are you perfect, Chris?
Depends on who you ask. Of course not.
Let's ask your wife.
You're asking me.
Yeah. But in heaven, will you be perfect?
Yes.
Absolutely, right?
Yes, right.
How did that happen? How do we go from being imperfect people to perfect people?
Purgatory.
Or
we're
a
living saint on earth and we go straight to heaven because we have worked out our salvation. You know,
that's controversial, Tony.
Good. Bring it on. Jesus was controversial. Here we go. But
yeah.
But we have to have one analogy. When we sin, it's like a nail going into the log. Okay. When we ask for forgiveness, Catholics would say the best way is confession. The nail comes out. But the hole's still there. So we need to either have those holes purified, cleansed, taken away, filled in on earth, or they will be in purgatory because, as in the first verse that we'll talk about today, in Revelation chapter 21, verse, 27 says, nothing unclean shall enter it, nor any one who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nothing unclean shall enter it. So,
if we're all unclean.
Joe, we're not clean, right?
No, not at all.
We're in process there. God willing, we're going to get there. But we're not the version, the cleanliness. We haven't had the car wash yet fully.
Yeah. You know, if the president were coming to pick you up and you're out in the garden and you're toiling the land and you're dirty and you're filthy.
What's the catch?
The catch is that you got to take a shower, little man. You are right.
What are you going to do before he gets there with the limousine to pick you up?
You've reminded me of a story that Steve Ray, Catholic apologist, he told a story about how one day he was working in the yard and just mowing the yard, gardening, whatever, and he was just filthy from head to toe. And he walks up to the door. The door was locked, so he knocks on the door. His wife comes to the door, opens it, and slams it shut. Comes out and brings him a fresh pair of clothes out on their front porch. I hope he doesn't live close to neighbors or anything like that. But he's sitting there and he's changing on the porch and he's sitting there going, oh, I'm in purgatory. I'm not in my house yet. I'm on the porch. I'm home, but I'm not through the front door yet. Yes. I'm getting cleaned up so I can go inside.
Yeah, the waiting room or pre-surgery or,
And it's God who gave you those clothes, right? That's, I mean, my wife.
Right?
Good one. It's the door. I mean, when we are in purgatory, we are assured of our salvation. So we're happy. You know, we're going to heaven. Praise God. We're not going to hell. Praise God again.
And we're not going through hell to get to heaven.
Right, right.
All who go through this time and space, which we call purgatory, time and space is irrelevant to God, right?
It's outside of time.
Anybody can call it anything that they want. And, you know, we're going to be cleansed by fire, and no one who gets into heaven will not have this cleansing fire.
So it's not going to be fun, by no means. It's not going to be any fun. Not going to look forward to it. But at the same time, there's hope.
Cleansing.
There's hope and happiness in purgatory because you know this isn't the end.
Right.
The end is your eternal salvation, happiness with heaven, in heaven with God and Jesus.
So is this a second chance?
Nope.
No. No,
I mean, right.
It's the first chance, you know, but the best is to be a saint, to go straight to heaven, right? And if we don't do that, but we are in God's grace, you know, the grace meter, you know, we believe that saints they're full of the grace. They have the grace they need to be a saint. They go straight to heaven. We are half a tank, a fourth of a tank, a drop. And God can use that by his death on the cross and redeem us and get us to heaven. So different. We're outside of time, so some people will obviously spend more time in purgatory than others. They need to be the murderer who asked for forgiveness on his deathbed, you know?
Yeah.
Praise God. He's going to go to heaven, but he's not a saint. We probably can agree on that. So he's purified in purgatory to become a saint.
So there is, you can't avoid purgatory.
Yes. Be a saint.
Be a saint.
In the meantime, be a saint. What else is there?
Okay. What about the good thief on the cross? I know that gets brought up every once in a while. It's like, okay, he did nothing.
Right.
He just, or did he?
He did. He gave his whole heart. He had complete contrition. He was completely sorry, and he was welcomed into heaven.
Promised paradise.
Yeah. Promised paradise.
I always kind of go, you know, but he didn't do anything. He just, well, no, he did.
Yes.
I mean, if you actually looked at the crucifixion on how Bill O'Reilly did the book Killing Jesus, and he describes in detail of what actually a crucifixion takes place and how you basically just suffocate yourself to breathe. You have to push up and to let out, you have to let down, and you're just with holes in your hands and your
feet. Watch the Passion of Christ.
Oh, yeah, watch the Passion. It's terrible. So for that man to rebuke the other thief and to ask for Jesus's forgiveness, he had to do a lot.
Yeah, in the midst of a crowd that was completely against Jesus, and
he suffered.
He laid it out there, and that's what we do even individually when we go to confession, or we just go straight to God and we say we're sorry. He just went for it all. He did a general, you know, complete, like, here's all the stuff I've done wrong, forgive me. And Jesus, of course, will say yes every single time. Praise God.
Amen.
If you're truly sorry. So purgatory is just for the saved.
Yes, you are. That's what the definition said. You are saved just through a cleansing beforehand.
Absolutely. Just to reiterate, it's, you know, God is outside of time and space. And so we have this hard time, I think, wrapping our minds around how is it that we are purified. And if we know, in fact, that it's not through our own works, we can't purify ourselves, right?
Right.
We can't work out our own salvation. We know this. It is by God's grace.
Amen.
And so this is just another, quite honestly, a notch in the Catholic belt. There's genius in Catholicism.
Brilliant!
Thank you!
Thank you!
So this is God's way of doing that for us. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're going there to work out our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
right.
It's not that place.
That's already been done.
That's
right.
It.
Right.
It's already been done. Mm-hmm. Is it what, Philippians 2? Work out your own salvation through fear and trembling. I mean, if we were guaranteed our salvation, wouldn't we be working out our salvation with joy and happiness?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But no, fear and trembling.
And so this is often a conversation with Jewish people to say if he was the Messiah, the world would be in a perfect place. But that's just not so. Therefore, in their logic, that's why Jesus is not the Savior of the world. He's not the Messiah. He's not the Messiah, because the world's no longer perfect. But we, as Christians, believe that we have to go through this time, mm-hmm. and He's given us every opportunity in the way, and it is Him, mm-hmm. the way, the truth, and the life.
Right. So does God play favoritism? Does He pick out His favorites?
Yeah, that's a great question.
it's like, oh, I like that guy.
So, yeah, Romans 2:11, and with God there is no partiality, there is no favoritism. So, right, it's like, okay, I like the way that, because everyone's sinning, like, I like the way that you sin because it's not as bad as this guy, right?
We like to categorize sin thinking, oh, okay, this one's not so bad. At least I'm not doing that.
Yeah, right.
Right? At least I'm not like this. At least I'm not a murderer. Yeah. We like to, like, put values on each sin. They're all bad to God.
And if we're doing that, we're not living the path of the sanctity, right? We're lowering the bar, and God has a pretty high bar.
Yeah. If there's questions you guys have about purgatory and we're not touching on it now, or some thoughts that we're not answering, please let us know, and we'll point you to Catholic Answers.
DonTalkToMe.com. Shameless plug. All right, so Hebrews 12 says, just men made perfect. Mm-hmm. So a just man is somebody.
Not women, just men. just kidding.
Okay. Just people made perfect. persons. Let's not go there. Okay. just men made perfect. So a just man is someone who is saved, correct?
Justice means to give someone what is due.
Okay. You know,
what is we deserve. So.
So if a just man is already destined for heaven, why does he need to be made perfect?
That's what Christ just said in the last verse, and the other ones we're going to give.
Because he's not perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs to be made perfect. So there's something that has to happen, as we were touching on earlier. Something has to happen between here and heaven.
Yes.
It's not just death, because death doesn't change who we are. We're mm-hmm. still going to be us, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not going to be somebody different.
Right. Death is God taking us from this place to the next.
Right. And our souls.
Our souls are eternal.
Mm-hmm. So one common objection is that that purgatory is another place, but it's not another place.
Right.
It's more of a process, maybe.
That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. A process is a good way to explain it, because I think it helps our finite minds understand a little better God's disposition, meaning He is outside of time and space, and we've said that already, and I know a lot of you have heard that, but I think we try to put this concept into a box.
That flea in a box, and then I'll put that box inside of another box, and then I'll nail that box to myself.
And call this process a place, because it's tangible to our minds.
Yeah, that's the only framework we have with our brains.
We can only go so far in the human brain.
Mm-hmm. How about 1 Corinthians? We'll do 1 Corinthians 3:15. This is my favorite one. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. Though he himself will be saved, okay, so suffered loss, and he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And you can't tell me that in hell you're saved,
No,
right.
And there has to be, and heaven is not a place of fire and suffering, like the complete antithesis, the opposite. No. So it has to be some place that's cleansing me of fire.
Yeah, this is kind of an odd way to think about this, but if death isn't the solution, right? Maybe God's death on the cross was our solution.
It is.
So if you are drowned, it's understood by science that it's actually euphoric. And that's not something I wish on anyone.
No.
But if, in fact, that death is euphoria, that's the opposite of what I'm hearing right now from the scripture as far as what's going to get you there. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessary. It's not by the way you died. That, whether it be illness or COVID-19 or, a bullet or whatever.
Although that process can help you in your salvation through that suffering.
You're suffering. Mm-hmm.
You're suffering.
And that's the point. Misery. Misery. Misery for the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As we talked about the thief on the cross, his suffering was kind of his cleansing fire. Mm-hmm.
So in this world, there's actually only limited ways that you can die. There's a ton of ways, right? But if in fact, let's what we call it disease, or we call it old age, God is outside of all of those contingencies, all of those ways that we die with our physical body. And so if our soul is eternal, we're passing from this life to the next. We're passing from this vessel, this place we call earth, and we're going to this place called heaven. So it's a mysterious thing. It's an underlying factor. It's a spiritual thing. It's supernatural. And so how can God use what he's describing in Scripture as a fire? Mm-hmm. Guys, it's what we call purgatory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can call it what you want and think of it the way you want. You know, it's funny to me because the Catholic Church has a definition for everything.
Yep, 2,000 years.
That's true.
A Catholic encyclopedia, if you've never seen it, my goodness, it's huge.
Well, there's one to take up a bookshelf.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we put a name on everything. And I think, you know, when you're talking to somebody who doesn't quite believe in purgatory or thinks that we made it up,
right.
I mean, how can you make this stuff up? But at the same time, there's something has to happen. And I think everybody believes something happens. We just put a name on it.
Yeah.
I mean, call it what you want, washed in the blood of the Lamb, or I think even the Orthodox, I don't think they believe in a actual fire, but they do believe in a process. They just don't give it a name.
Right.
They do believe in a process that happens after death, which is what purgatory is. It's just a process or a condition. State of mind, maybe. I don't know, because, I mean, your body doesn't go through purgatory, right?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
Right. Correct.
Just your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your soul? Point to me in your body where your soul is.
Yeah.
It's just a spirit. It's your spirit. Mm-hmm. So when it goes through purgatory, that's not an actual physical place where we know heaven and hell are.
Yeah.
And you were talking about words, you know, the word Trinity. Every Christian in the world believes in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Show me in Scripture where the word Trinity is. But the belief of the Trinity, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is clearly in Scripture. You know, incarnation, God becoming man. Fancy word again. Okay, some odd people may not even know what it is. God becoming man, everybody agrees that Jesus took on flesh and became one of us and still fully God, fully man. So these words purgatory come along by fancy theologians and saints to give it a word so that we can be able to understand it at least a little bit better. Still, it's sometimes over our heads, but it helps.
So purgatory, let's say cleansing fire, you could say it's a maybe burning of your shame and your pride, your vices.
Burning the sins away.
I'm just reminded of a guy that said that he was looking forward to purgatory. He was actually excited about going. I mean, like I said before, it's not going to be any fun, but his thought process was that I'm finally going to be made into the person that God intended me to be.
That's awesome.
Always intended me to be. I'm finally going to be rid of all my vices, all of my concupiscence, all of my sinful nature. I'm finally going to be the person, the man, the woman who God created.
It's like asking to go into the lion's den. Mm. You know, you see what's ahead of you, but you take that step of faith.
It's a leap of faith.
I talk about faith. That's fantastic. Whether you're Catholic or not, and you put yourself completely out there for the Lord to cleanse you with this fire because you're reading it in Scripture. It's compelling your heart, your mind, your will. So if it does exist, let's just say, would you like to go there?
I mean, I'd rather go straight to heaven.
Absolutely.
But there's still things about me that's just not quite, and I'm working on them here as best I can.
Sure.
But at least I do have hope.
Yes.
In the cleansing fire of purgatory.
Right. We're supposed to be a saint, and if we don't, God's going to help us out. You know, if we stay in His grace, you know, we stay faithful to Him and loving Him. And I always tell my students, I'm like, if I taught them for 3 years, you know, I taught middle school theology, you know. There's one thing you can remember I teach you. Remember this, that if you're always sorry for your sins, you're guaranteed going to make it to heaven someday. Right? I mean, we are going to be make it. Now, once again, through purgatory or just straight up a saint, God willing, everyone listening to us is going to be a saint, and we can God help willing. In that process. Praise the Lord. But if we're sorry, then the devil can't. Yes, we're going to sin. The Bible says the righteous person sins seven times a day. That's a little old lady at home that sins seven times a day. That means my list is higher, you know.
Yeah.
But we're able to hopefully be purified get it done now, though. Yeah. Purify it now so that you won't have to do it later.
So that guy in the garden that I was referencing, you know, that's going to go see the president, and he's just covered in mud and dirt, and the limo pulls up, and oh my goodness, what is he going to go do? He's going to run inside, and he's going to take a bath. He's going to be cleansed.
Oh man, that's cold!
Yeah, he's not going to jump in the limo.
No, he's not going to just jump in. And when God says in heaven there is no partiality, and with God you can be in heaven and be sinful. And I don't want anyone to hear from us that we're saying that God doesn't have the ability to instantly make you perfect, because he is.
He's God. He can do whatever he wants.
Just because this big word purgatory exists in this conversation and in our belief system doesn't mean it has to take a lifetime or another 100 years or 30 minutes, or because time and space are irrelevant.
I think, kind of going off your point there, I'm reminded of a story I heard about, you know, well, purgatory, first of all, is it's a blessing. It's a gift that God has given us to help us on our path to salvation, on our path to heaven. And I'm reminded of the story of, if you were invited, like say you were working out in the field, or you're dirty and you need to get cleaned up, and you get invited to a wedding, please come in. But I was like, no, let me get cleaned up first. No, you're fine. Just come on in. You can imagine God just saying, come on in. No, come on in. Really, for my own sake, let me go get cleaned up and I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. You know, it's for us. It's another one of God's gifts that he gives us on our path to salvation, just to kind of, it's for our own good.
And isn't it cool that God gives us multitudes, millions, billions, trillions of gifts? You know, he wants us all to be saved.
So the Jews, it is great, because he's calling us to this perfection. You know, the Jews in the Old Testament, I apologize for not having the verse in front of me now.
We will quote Maccabees here in a second.
Yes, but you know, they refined gold, and the point here is that they refined it by fire, and the best jeweler or goldsmith refined that until they could see their reflection. That's what made it perfect, and that's what God wants to be able to do with us, is to refine us as the gold, kind of like the pot, you know, I mean the potter or the clay,
and see his image in us,
exactly,
and through us.
And so this is an Old Testament belief.
What do you mean biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr. Yes. Mayor.
And we need that refining. And
so we're a mirror in a way?
Yeah.
As we're supposed to do on earth, but even greater in heaven.
Exactly. It ends up to be a mirror. So this is a belief that goes beyond like just New Testament, just the time of the church, you know, after Jesus. This is an old belief.
Yeah. Let's look up 2 Maccabees. It's chapter 12, verse 44. For if he were not expecting that those who had fallen would rise again, it would have been superfluous and foolish to pray for the dead. But if he was looking to the splendid reward that is laid up for those who fall asleep in godliness, it was a holy and pious thought. Here's the key here. Therefore, he made atonement for the dead, that they may be delivered from their sin. So praying for the dead has an impact on others. You know, there's people that have died that I can help after this life. Wow. It shows the
Catholic
thought.
So if they're already in heaven,
they don't need our prayers.
Right. And it shows the Catholic thought that we are one family, heaven, purgatory, and earth. And we can all help each other out. So if they're in heaven, they can help us out. They can help everybody else in purgatory. Purgatory, people can pray for us too and help us out.
I love it how God just wipes away the lines of division in his church.
Yes.
Even, you know, it's an infinite, contiguous, linear path from those in heaven, because it's the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's those in heaven, those in purgatory, those on earth?
Yes.
One family.
Right.
One family.
We are family.
I love it.
Yep. So, yeah, get to know the saints so they can pray for us. You know, yeah. I always say I offer up my rosary every day for the souls in purgatory, so I can make as many friends as possible, and that they can make it to heaven. If I'm there, and I'm shooting for it right now, Lord help me, that they can pray for me later on. So hopefully, there's several people up there saying, "Oh, that Frasco guy, like
that guy with the Broncos hat on, help him out.
Yeah, he needs a little help.
Like, I don't know,
the guy with the Astros hat on. Lord knows he needs help.
We need a lot of help.
Yeah, pray for us.
So there's no stealing your way into heaven. Anyway, does anybody have anything else to
add? Maybe somebody in purgatory can bang on a bucket for you and give you the right signal.
That would be great. That would be great.
Oh, what's that? Okay, go this way.
Fastball. Oh, man, that was great. All right, does anybody have anything else to add?
Gosh, there's so much
you could
much
keep
more
going.
Out
yes,
there.
Yes. Just give the basics.
But let's keep it going. Please put some comments down there. If there's anything that we didn't touch on that you have a question about purgatory, please let us know. And we will.
There's a second video coming, Purgatory, and it's going to be guided by your comments.
There you go. That's a great idea.
Okay. No, we talked about that before, guys. This is planned.
Oh, this is the second video. Wait, no. All right. We appreciate you tuning in with us once again, and please subscribe, like, share, and we will see y'all next time. God bless.
Or you'll see us next time.
That's a good idea.